Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, an encouraging lesson on loneliness.
You can have 5,000 friends on Facebook, your soul remains lonely because you were made for more than horizontal friendships. You were made for God, and Jesus gives us God back. The love of God through us mitigates the loneliness in us.
In our digital age, we often cope with loneliness by isolating and indulging ourselves with technology. But does this truly satisfy the hunger within us for genuine connection? Today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt explains how Christ's sacrifice provided the true remedy for loneliness. And later, you'll learn about an exciting new resource that pairs perfectly with this timely series. If you missed any previous parts of this message, you'll find them online at thejourney.fm. But now, here's Pastor Steve with part three of a message titled Loneliness.
Well, I owe loneliness a great debt. Many years of aloneness in my life also included a lot of loneliness in my life. And one day in particular, I was just overwhelmed with loneliness. And I went home, got on my computer, and I wrote an article about loneliness that the Gospel Coalition ended up publishing. The title was Lonely Me, A Pastoral Perspective on Loneliness. And so that went out there and went, you know, all the way that goes online, all over the place. Well, there were former members of our church that had moved to Kansas City, and they saw the article, and they forwarded the article to a woman that they had just started getting to know. Her name was Jennifer Terrell. And attached to that article, allegedly, because in the article there was a photo of me as the author of the article, allegedly this former member of our church who had moved to Kansas City included in the email a question for Jennifer. Do you think Pastor Steve is cute? And apparently, I was cute enough, and that article was actually the beginning of my relationship with Jennifer. But my point is that loneliness proved for me to be very beneficial. And that is my goal in this message. How do we take something that none of us like, none of us want, all of us feel, how do we turn loneliness into a benefit? And not as a source of bitterness or resentment or further isolation from people. How can we redeem it? And we're going to get practical today about how to do that. How do we turn loneliness into a friend? We do so, first and foremost, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because by Christ and through Christ, this main thing, this main person that is missing from us, we are reconciled with him. Listen to Colossians 1. And through him, that is Christ, to reconcile to himself, that is God, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, and really lonely while doing it, I'll add that, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So what we see here is a description that if alienation from God is what we feel in our sin, reconciliation with God is what we have and feel on the other side of trusting in Jesus Christ. It is the restoration of what was lost in Genesis 3. We get God back, if you will. Our soul, made for God, gets God back again within us. We are now in a relationship with the one person that our soul longs for more than any else. It is personal peace with God forever and ever, time without end. Sin stole God from us. Jesus gives God back to us. We are reconciled to him. This is why Paul calls it a ministry of reconciliation. Human beings, sinners, reconciled with our Creator God. And this happens as we, as sinners, place our personal trust in Jesus Christ, in what he did, dying on the cross for our sins, raised on the third day, conquering death. The promise is when we respond in faith and trust and truly believe, we repent of our sins and we turn in faith to Jesus Christ, that we get God back. We have that relationship back, and he is ours forever. Now, most people, when they think about loneliness, they think about it in horizontal terms, not the vertical. And they think to themselves, well, you know, if so-and-so didn't reject me, I wouldn't feel this way. Or if I had a BFF, I wouldn't feel this way. Or if I had a spouse, or I had a child, or I had a bowling team, I wouldn't feel this way. And all these relationships, horizontal, are super important, and we're gonna get to these in a moment. But you have to start with the vertical. It has to begin with objective peace with God and a reconciliation with our Creator. And if you don't do that, you can have 5,000 friends on Facebook, your soul remains lonely because you were made for more than horizontal friendships. You were made for God, and Jesus gives us God back. So dear friend, can I ask you, have you been reconciled with God? Have you placed your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Through him, have you been restored to your Creator? Until you do that, there will remain a soulless loneliness in your life. And I begin with this one because all the other things I'm going to say really build on that one and in some ways assume that one. And so I urge you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the first step to conquering, if I will, or overcoming loneliness. Now, here's the second, okay? Again, that's the foundation. I'm building on that foundation now. So we are reconciled with God by the gospel, but now we have the more difficult. And yet it's the gospel, again, that enables us to do this. For the gospel, if you want to overcome loneliness, it means death to you, okay? Death to self. Because to become a Christian, it is yes to trust in Jesus Christ, but it is also a kind of death, a surrender, if you will, to my own attempts at self-salvation, my own attempts to justify myself before God and other people. I am dying to that. I'm dying to meriting favor with God by my religious behavior. I am dying to all of that when I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. So saving faith is a humble, dying to me, trusting in Jesus fully, activity of the soul. And if it is anything less than that, it is not the kind of faith that saves us, because I'm doing some of it myself. As Spurgeon said, if one crumb in your cupboard of righteousness is your own, you are lost. It is all Jesus, nothing of me. And this surrender, okay, becoming a Christian, is a kind of surrender that is difficult for prideful human beings to do. This might be one reason if you're here today and, you know, your wife dragged you here or you walked in here or whatever, but you're kind of like, I don't know about this. There is a kind of pride that doesn't want to give up me and to trust Jesus. And yet to be a Christian, it requires that. That is what saving faith is. And this posture now, remember, hang with me here, okay? Hang with me. The posture of the heart to become a Christian, the Bible describes as death to self. Here's how Jesus says it, Matthew 16. If anyone would come after me, okay, so this is not just like, you know, the special people, the disciples. If any of you are gonna be a follower of me, notice what he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, this is more than just a clever sentence, and it is a very clever sentence and turn of the phrase there, as Jesus often did. But what he is doing here is he is describing a cause and an effect, okay? A cause and an effect. The cause, at minimum, to be a Christian is to deny myself. It is to displace me on the throne of my heart, to displace me as the top priority of why I do what I do, to displace me as my main agenda in life. No, now it's not me. I am displacing me, and I am replacing me with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean for him to be Lord? It is where the Christian is surrendering to the will and the agenda of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus now. This is known as the crucified life, if you will. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's getting at the same point. Jesus clarifies this a little bit more in Matthew 16:25, and he explains the effect of the self-denial. Okay, there's a cause, the self-denial. Here's the effect. He calls it losing our lives. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Are you with me? Okay, do you see what he's saying here? Losing our life here doesn't mean that we physically die. Rather, it means that we die to our self-agenda. We die to our self-exaltation. We die to our self-worship. It is me in my heart. Me has been replaced by he, okay? And that is a kind of self-death in the words of Jesus. And let's be honest, it sounds horrible. Some of you right now are going, let's leave now. It does sound horrible when you ignore the effect that Jesus promises, that whoever loses his life in this death to self way finds it, gains it. In other words, by losing ourself, dying to self, in a kind of paradoxical way, we actually find ourselves. We gain our real self back. We gain the best self back. One of my heroes in the faith, Jim Elliot, famously said, probably his most famous statement, but it's this point: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The Christian life on the front end sounds like a whole bunch of losing, losing, losing. And people, you know, they come in and superficially look at Christianity and go, no, thank you. I didn't come to church to lose anything. And they miss the promise that by losing myself and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I am in the end actually gaining. There is more to be gained by losing than by keeping. And therefore, you're no fool who gives what he can't keep anyway to gain what, in the end, you keep forever and ever. So it's sort of a paradoxical mind sort of bending thing. Here's how Jesus himself said it. Another verse, and this is in Acts. It is better to give than to receive. It is better to give than to receive. Now, we quote that verse, and often we'll talk about like financial giving and things like that, and it certainly applies to that. But it applies to everything else as well. That God is a self-giving God, and he is a generous God. He gave us Jesus, by the way. And in that model, we see that flourishing and happiness and joy sourced in God does not happen for us as we keep and hoard. It is in the giving of ourselves that we actually find ourselves. It is in the losing that in the end we are gaining. Are you with me? Okay. Pastor Steve, you said it three different ways. We got it the first time. Well, some of us are slower, so How does this relate to loneliness? Because again, you're kind of like, I thought this was on loneliness. How does this get around to loneliness? Here's how. In our loneliness, our instinct is to ask, to hope, who is there that can fill the void that I have inside? I need somebody to meet my needs. As many of you know, I spent many years in the Christian singles scene, if you will. There's a lot of stories to tell about all of those experiences. But Christian singles scene is chronic with this mentality. I need somebody to meet my needs. I remember years ago that I sort of got up the courage and decided to go to this Christian singles kind of event gathering. And there is a terror to doing that only Christian singles can understand, truly, because it feels like you're walking into a room filled with people you don't know, wearing a sign saying, "Hi, I'm Steve, I'm needy." That's what it feels like. So anyway, I remember I went to this event. I opened the door, and the door closed behind me loud enough for all of a sudden everybody to realize somebody had just walked in. Everybody in the room stopped talking. They all turned, and they looked at me. And then they went back to their conversation. What was happening in that moment? That assembled singles group was there hoping that they might meet somebody to meet their needs. And I walked through the door, and they all stopped to see if maybe I was the person to meet their needs. And based upon their response, the answer was no. Now, this is seen throughout the body of Christ when God's people gather together, and there is this latent desire in the heart where I hope I meet somebody this Sunday, this ministry gathering. I hope I meet somebody who meets my needs. I hope this church is filled with people ready to fulfill my desires. And what I want you to realize is it doesn't work that way. And as long as you have a mentality that there is somebody out here who is going to be uniquely designed to meet my needs so my loneliness goes away, you are entrenching loneliness for the rest of your life. To overcome loneliness, you have to take that and turn it upside down. In the words of C.S. Lewis, the principle runs through all life, top to bottom. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Give up your life and you will save it. Submit to death. Death of your ambitions and favored wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Nothing that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only loneliness, hatred, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him, everything else thrown in. Friend, I want you to realize overcoming loneliness has nothing to do with you finding someone to address that loneliness. We must lose ourselves to gain ourselves. We must give up ourselves by giving ourselves, listen, to meet the relational, spiritual needs of other people. And when we invert our natural desire to be loved and choose to love and serve others, key point, the love of God through us mitigates the loneliness in us. This kind of self-giving love, we give it away, and it turns out to be a boomerang. Where'd my loneliness go? I forgot about it while I was trying to meet the loneliness of other people. So to be practical, what I'm saying is if you hope someday, or even today, that there's somebody nice and friendly to you, and a friendship develops in it that will somehow resolve your relational needs and absences, You are going to be lonely till the day you die. It is not the receiving of friendship that mitigates the loneliness. It is the giving of friendship that addresses it, because this is how God made us. This is how God himself operates. And this is how we flourish as human beings. And I got to this point in the message, and I thought, we need an illustration right now. And I tried to think about what is a good illustration of something that improves as it loses. But this is the best illustration I can think of. And that is one of the shocking things that I've discovered in being a parent is the level of joy that I have when my daughters are happy or they're enjoying something. In fact, I could say it this way. I think I enjoy their experience of joy more than I enjoy my experience of joy. So for example, if I die to my own desire to go fishing or golfing, and instead I take them to the pool or the park, and I see them splashing and having fun, honestly, it's better than catching a fish in my heart. So here's what I'm saying. We will never be completely rid of loneliness this side of heaven. I don't care who you're married to, how wonderful they are, how many friends you have. We live in a broken world. It's not yet redeemed. Creation is groaning and we groan with it. And loneliness is one of the ways that we groan with it. And surely one of the most terrible aspects of hell will be the constant grinding aloneness and loneliness. Not to mention all the other things that are described in hell, but just this one aspect earns hell the name hell. But for Christians, realize that our eternity is completely loneliness free. And it doesn't have to dominate us now either. That's the good news. I share this from years of thinking about this and wrestling with it in my own life. Not if we lose ourselves. Now, if you're here looking to gain, good luck with that. But if you're here looking to lose yourself in the joy of others, to try to meet their relational needs, well, then you're on a path to mitigate the loneliness.
You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt, and the third part of a message titled Loneliness. To replay this message or previous lessons, visit thejourney.fm. Well, today we were reminded of the importance of putting Christ and others before ourselves. That's our aim here each day on The Journey, as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with men and women around the country, some hearing its life-changing message for the very first time. But as a listener-supported program, The Journey relies in part on contributions from friends like you to keep this Bible teaching program on the air in order to reach those in need. So would you give a generous gift today? Every donation, regardless of its size, helps us make a meaningful impact in the lives of individuals and families across the nation. You can call us at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or you can give online at thejourney.fm. And as a thank you, you'll receive a copy of Pastor Steve's brand new book. It's titled Loneliness. Don't hate it or waste it, redeem it. Steve, would you tell us a little bit about this book?
Yeah, for years I lived a somewhat paradoxical life as the only never married megachurch pastor in the United States, or at least so I'm told. I found myself in proximity to thousands of people, yet my daily life was lived alone. With nearly 22 years spent as a single adult and now 11 years married, I've gained a unique perspective on solitude and aloneness and loneliness. So if you're curious to learn more about my journey and discover practical ways to redeem loneliness in your own life, I'd love to send you my book.
Thanks, Steve. Again, you can request your copy of Loneliness with a gift of support to The Journey. Call 844-7-JOURNEY or visit thejourney.fm. I'm Tim Svoboda. Be sure to join us next time for more teaching from Pastor Steve DeWitt here on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.